In the name of Jesus, amen. So those two Emmaus disciples tell this Jerusalem group about the things that had happened to them on the road and how the one they hadn't known on the road was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they're reporting these things, as they say them, Jesus himself, Jesus with hands and feet, Jesus with flesh and bones, Jesus to handle and see, appears. Excellent, yes? No. All is not yet right for this group. They are terrified. They are frightened, though they can see the fact of the resurrection in front of them. They're troubled, Jesus says. They don't believe, though for joy, but they don't believe, not yet. They marvel, of course, but their emotions are in control. They don't know him yet. The mere fact of the resurrection, if the resurrection can ever be spoken of as mere, doesn't make for faith, or everyone would believe. And my emotional reaction is not to be trusted either. All this needs to be interpreted by Christ. Christ is risen, yes, and it terrifies them so far. Someone has come, risen from the dead, and like Lazarus's brothers, they're not convinced, or convinced that only the opposite is true, that Christ is not risen, that the one standing here is nothing. He's not really here. He is a spirit and nothing more, but it is not Jesus. Many Christians standing before altars to this day insist on that same thing. But here is the risen Jesus, and he eats, and his eating is fascinating to the 11. This may be Jesus, physical teeth with on physical fish, glorious eating. Adam fell into death by eating, and this one has undone death, and he eats to demonstrate what a resurrection of the body is and what yours will be. And he gives food to you to eat to that end, to immortality. Marvel at that. We're separated from this scene by so much time and space, but the situation is not so different. In fact, we can see something right now which was not visible to them, just as they could see something not visible to us. We see today the little church throughout the world gathered around Jesus' preaching and his breaking bread, something they couldn't see. But then the Jesus who they did see, flesh and bones, hand and feet, cannot be seen by us. Christ revealed, right? Christ present, right? Christ body and blood, Jerusalem then, Cramer Chapel now, them and us. And neither automatically get it. Seeing is not believing, wasn't for them, isn't for us. Faith comes by hearing, and they will not believe, they cannot believe, cannot interpret Jesus or his word, any of it, until Jesus preaches. He always preaches, and this is his final meal and teaching in one place before he ascends to preach everywhere and give himself from 1,000 altars. He unlocks the scriptures. They're about him, the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the Psalms. He created, he spake at the Oaks of Mamre and at the altar on Mount Moriah. The Lamb, the Passover, the temple, the offerings and the sacrifices, burning bush and bronze serpent, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, the ark afloat in the flood and the ark of the covenant, the place of blood sprinkled for sins, the Lord my shepherd and a rejected stone and a worm and not a man, a prophet like Moses and one greater than Solomon, bread from heaven and water from a rock, and that rock was Christ. Which part of the Bible isn't he in? Where is Christ excluded from his word? From which part of the scriptures is the only way of salvation for us absent? As Luther could say, if you miss Christ, better just let the scriptures alone. But Jesus says, it is I myself. Old Testament I am. I am the Lord your God, God, God with hands and feet. Dead, now risen hands and feet. He shows his parts that have the wounds. exactly what he shows to the Father, who is well pleased to say to you that your sin has been blotted away by my Son. And then Jesus speaks again the words that he spoke again and again while he was still with them, things that had been going on and on through Scripture and history, hardly able to contain themselves, waiting for all this, that they might be fulfilled. Well, they are, he says. It was written concerning me. He opens their understanding. He preaches. He preaches this again. Christ must suffer. Christ must rise in the third day. It is written like that. It is done. But how will these old done facts be done to us? Where will these done things be handed over for you to believe for joy and not disbelieve anymore? It is wherever he is, his church, at all times and in all places, as Luke has it, preaching repentance to forgiveness in his name. Back to preaching, and preaching still. He will do it by preaching and the other things that he does with his name on them. Preaching Christ suffering, Christ crucified, preaching Christ risen, preaching the silly creed. Because that little Jerusalem group was terrified, troubled by Jesus, didn't know that Jesus just paid for their sins by his Good Friday dying, didn't know that Jesus made each one of them immortal by his resurrection on Easter, didn't know that Good Friday blood is the only thing on earth still that forgives sin and conquers death and beats down Satan from a chalice. They had the Scriptures, but not the risen Christ confession, and so couldn't comprehend it yet. Because deaf ears can't hear and blind eyes can't see and dead people don't do anything, that makes it impossible for you too, like them, to see Jesus right in front of you or to know Jesus through the Scriptures. Impossible, that is, unless Jesus himself preaches the Scriptures to you, like in Emmaus and Jerusalem. Then you truly know the Scriptures, and in knowing the Scriptures, you know Jesus. Seeing is not believing, is it? At least not in Emmaus at first, or Jerusalem at first. And knowing is not seeing. Do you hear preaching? Is Jesus at his altar? For he must not only preach the Scriptures, but Jesus must break the bread and give it to you himself. He does. And you too will confess today he is made known to us in the breaking of the bread. Time and space hasn't separated us from that Jerusalem Easter at all. Amen.